We are glad you're here with us today, and we're in the middle of a series called Custom. What is our custom story? What is the suit that God has tailored for us here at Grace Hill? So where are we at? Last week we talked about this, is we talked about our calling as a church. We talked about the Great Commission, and how the Great Commission in all of that whole passage has one imperative verb. One thing that says, go do this, one imperative verb. And in English, it translates into two words, but it's make disciples. And we walked away from last week with these two questions. We walked away asking this, where are you in the discipleship journey? That we've crossed the line of faith, and we've crossed the line, and we now are a believer, and oftentimes it's so easy just to stop at being a believer or even move to being a disciple of Christ, which is a little further along in maturity, and we stop there when really what we the Bible shows us is that we have to be showing the word, that we have to be a teacher, that we need to be a disciple maker, because we really believe this principle that every Christian is a minister. Every disciple is a disciple maker. The second question that we walked away with this is not only where are you in the journey, who are you taking with you? That we're sharing the word, we're showing the word, we're teaching the word, that we are serving the world together. Who are we taking with us on the journey? Because again, every disciple is a disciple maker. Every Christian is a minister. But today, we're going to talk about our custom story of what are wins for the church. What are wins for us here at Grace Hill? And so I want to ask you the question, how many of you in here, you like to win? When you compete at something, you like to win. Anyone in here? Come on, how many of you don't care? You're not really that competitive. I don't even know what language you're speaking. I love to win. I mean, if whether it's something competitive as athletics, whether it's playing Uno cards, Uno's supposed to be fun. I want to win. In fact, in the Norman household, when we'd have our big family reunions, we would have to, whether we played cards or whether we played Risk or whether we played some board games, we would have games where there was like no cheating games because we were going to try to win. So you know, instead of putting down one card, you know, on Uno, you put down two cards and you stack them on top of each other. And so we'd have to say, okay, that you can do it as long as you don't get caught. And then we'd have to have games to where we'd say, and this wasn't the kids, this was the adults. And all of my family, my uncle's a missionary, my dad's a pastor. Well, you know, so all of my family, like they are like, they're not like, you know, they're not somewhere off doing bad. I mean, they're like good people. We had to have no, because we want to win. But not only do I want to win, I want the teams that I root for to win. How many of you in here, you're rooting for the Dallas Cowboys? I love it when the Dallas Cowboys win. And I love it when everybody says, oh, I hate the Cowboys to win, and you pull up the championship rings. Dallas Cowboys got five. There's a three or four for the Giants. And then you get down to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they've got nothing but lollipops, baby. I love whenever the Dallas Mavericks win and when they have a good team and when they're winning. I love the Dallas Mavericks. I love it when my fighting Texas Aggies from Texas A&M, I love it when they win. Did you feel that? There was like some passion and there was some like, ugh. Some of you, we may not recover you the rest of the sermon after that one right there. I love it when, okay, let's maybe we can get you back on the same team. I love it when the U.S. men's national soccer team or the ladies' national team, when they win, just pulled out the World Cup. I love it whenever anything with the USA and Olympics. When it comes to Olympics times, man, I am a USA groupie. Everything. I'm rooting for, I mean, figure skating. I don't watch it, but I cheer for them when they get the medal. I can't get into synchronized swimming, but just about everything else, I cheer for USA and the Olympics, because not only do I like to win, I like for the things that I root for, I like them to win as well. So let me transition and ask this. How many of you, you want your church to win? How many of you, you want God's church, God's people, this house, that you want Grace Hill to win? How many of you want that today? I do too. But for us to know what a win is, that we need to know how even to keep score. for us to know what a win is for this church, that we have to go back and look at the scripture and see what a win is for God. That we have to go back to the early church and see what is a win for them. So I want us to go back, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. If you're listening online today, I want you as well to turn to Acts chapter 2, and I want us to begin in verse 41, and we're going to see some wins for the early church, because that dictates what is wins for us. So if you're reading in verse 41, it says this: "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." So I want you to kind of capture what's happening here, is that Jesus had been crucified, that he had been resurrected, that then here is the disciples and about 120 other people in this upper room. 500 started, 380 over time kind of filtered out, and they'd been fasting and praying and seeking God, and that there had been this great move of the Lord on them, and so they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and people said, "Man, you guys are acting drunk," and Peter says, "They're not drunk, they're filled with the Spirit," and then he goes on and he preaches, and if you read the message he preached, woo, he was like bold, bam, preaches this message. And 3,000 people became followers of Christ that day. So it's this pretty incredible moment here. Verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So as we read through this, the Lord added to their numbers daily. As we read through this, we see some wins for the church, for the early church, and it's wins for us here at Grace Hill. And so if you're taking notes today, the number one win here at Grace Hill is this, is people knowing God. People coming to know God, which is salvation, that is the number one win for us at Grace Hill. In fact, in Romans 3:23, that it says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that for all of us in our lives, that we've made mistakes and we've fallen short of God's best for us. Every one of us. No matter how good we perform, no matter how much we keep the rules, that every one of us at some point has blown it. Then Romans 6:23 goes on and says that the wages or the cost or the expense of those mistakes, the wages of sin, ultimately is death. And so what an incredible thought there for us to understand that the wages of sin is death. It goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That there's a gift that he wants to give us of salvation. And it can't be earned. It can't be achieved. It can't be rewarded in the sense of I have done such a good performance that as a result of the performance, God is so impressed with me that he's going to say, "Hey, come on into heaven. You're okay." So it's like we're here on this level. And if I perform good enough, I get to step up the level. And if I perform even better, I go up another level. And that I can't build a big enough platform for God to be impressed with me. It's a gift. It can't be earned. It's given, but it has to be received. But the gift of God is eternal life. And here's how it's received, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, in your mouth you profess and are saved." So the number one goal and the number one win and the number one thing that makes us happy, and we believe it makes the Lord's happy, is people coming to know God, people coming to relationship with the Lord. And the beautiful thing about God is this, is that early on, Adam and Eve sinned. And that the theology that we have on that is original sin, that when they sinned, it's as if we sinned. That is, when they blew it, it's as if we blew it. And in that moment, there created a chasm between God and man, between a holy God and a sinful man. And that since that moment, God has been working to reconcile us to him. He's been working to reconcile us to come into relationship with him since that moment. And God's love is so deep for us that he'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes for us to come to relationship with him, to be saved. I love my daughters. I have three daughters. One's about to be a senior, a little emotional for me right now, that she's gonna about to move off into big life, and that she, one's gonna be a junior, one's gonna be an eighth grader. But last week we went on vacation and we hiked up a couple of 14,000 foot peaks. And so, do you have that picture? Let's go and put that up there. That we hiked, and there we are right there at the top of Mount Democrat, 14,348 feet. And that there is the peak. The snow is below us. We're above the snow line even for this picture. And so it was pretty incredible. And so we hiked, and we would rest, and we would go on up. And there were parts of it that were really wide trails, parts of it that were rocky, parts that were really narrow and cliffs on either side of us. And so there we are at the top. But what would happen if one of them fell? What would happen if one of them had fallen off the edge and they're hanging on and they're hanging for dear life? As a dad, what would I do? That I love my daughter so much. That what would I do? I would do whatever it takes to jump and to save them, even risking my own life or costing my own life so that they could live and ultimately win and succeed. What would I do? I would do whatever it took for them to win and for them to succeed. And that's what God has done for us. Whatever it takes for us to win, for us to succeed, for us in his love, that if we were there hanging off the cliff, he would do and has done whatever it would take. And here's what it says in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The win for God is us being reconciled to him. Read this verse with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone, I want you to capture anyone. I don't care how good and religious, and not, I'm saying godly, but religious we've been. He's saying religious is still not godly, but he said even the religious, I don't care how far you've been from God, the one with the worst history. He said, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us, capture that, he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And then they say, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God, because that's the win, to be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. God, Jesus, who had no sins, took on our sin so that we could be reconciled to him through Christ. This is important to God. Not just being religious, not just attending a church, but being reconciled to God is important. And we get to win. In fact, the Bible says that we get to become the righteousness of God because of Jesus' birth, because of his life, because of his death and resurrection, that we get to be reconciled to God because of these things. Salvation, knowing God, growing in God, or knowing God. Salvation is a win for God, a win for the early church, and is a win for us. But I want you to notice something else in here. It says that the words that it uses, that we are Christ's ambassadors. That what does that mean? That an ambassador goes to somewhere else and they represent the kingdom in which they come from. They represent the authority in which they come from. And now he's saying that you and I, Ivy, that we are going in the authority of Christ, that we are an ambassador and a representative of Christ, and we go into the world as his representative. An ambassador of Christ. We represent him. And that ultimately you are bringing him to them, and that's how we represent Christ. Man, that's a great thought. The verses actually say that we have the ministry of reconciliation. It says that God was making the, it's as if they said, God is making the appeal through us. That we have the ministry of reconciliation. So it's as if God is making the appeal through you. That a win for Grace Hill, and though God does the work, a win for Grace Hill salvation, and God does the work, but you're a part of the process of coming to faith. And so here is what I kind of want to tie it in here. Here's where maybe it starts becoming our custom story, our tailored suit, something for us, is that we want to give you chances in order for people to come to faith. That we want to give you chances in order to do this, and that one way is to bring them here. Ultimately, we know that's not the only way. That's what we talked about last week, is being the church where we're at, from the courthouse to your house, from downtown to uptown, that from the city park to the coffee shop, being the church where you're at, not just going to church, but being the church wherever you are. That's what we talked about last week. But one of the ways that we want to be an assist in this is to allow you to bring people where they're going to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And part of that, September 13th coming up, the first Sunday after Labor Day, we're beginning a whole new series, and we're going to talk about live and let die, and the things in our lives that we need to live, and the things in our lives that we need to die. And the very first week, we're going to talk about letting bitterness die and forgiveness live. Because how many of you ever have needed to let bitterness, you've needed to let it die in your life? And maybe now we need some things that we need to let bitterness die. How many of you know someone who needs to let bitterness die and forgiveness live? Do you know somebody who needs that? Bring them on that day. And they're going to hear not just forgive, forgive, but why it's beneficial spiritually. Even, you know, it's physically beneficial to forgive, and it's physically damaging for us to hold bitterness. And we're going to talk about what the scripture says, because we want to give people the opportunity to know and experience forgiveness, to know and experience God's grace, and to receive that for themselves. And so part of what we're going to do in our custom story is we're going to provide avenues and opportunities for you to allow people to hear the gospel in a very clear way. And so whatever it takes, pick them up, promise them lunch afterwards, but whatever it takes, bring someone on that day, because we want them to experience God, because that's a win for us, and it's a win for our lives, and it's God's calling for us. Number two, another win for Grace Hill, and if you're taking notes, write this down. People not only knowing God, but people growing in God. People growing God, you know what that is? That's life transformation. That's life transformation. And so today, here's what it says in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So I want you to follow with me this process right quick. There are several things just in that short verse. It says the disciples devoted themselves, all of these, in fact, not just the disciples, but the 3,000 that came to Christ that day. That whole body, that whole group of people who heard him preaching, who received Christ, they're in Jerusalem. It says that they devoted themselves to the disciples' teaching, or the apostles' teaching, depending on what version you're looking at. But what was the apostles' teaching? What did they know that they were teaching? Really, if you could translate here, they devoted themselves to Jesus' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to fellowship, because the disciples weren't teaching their own thing. They were teaching all that they had heard from Jesus, because when they came to Jesus, they were a mess. And they came to Jesus, and for 3 years, they heard him teach, and they heard him preach, and they heard him, sat with him. And so the apostles' teachings were Jesus' teachings. And so that is here what we see, is they devoted themselves to the teaching of Jesus. They devoted themselves to fellowship with the body of Christ and other believers. They devoted themselves to prayer. And I want to ask you today, as Grace Hill, are you devoted to those things? That we see it in the early church. We see it as a part of this crazy season of complete life transformation, this incredible season of God moving in people's hearts. We see that they were devoted to it. Are we devoted to it? It goes on, and it says that they saw signs and wonders in verse 42. And I want to tell you today that those things still happen. You say, you know what, those things, I want to tell you that God still does the miraculous. You say, man, I need God to answer prayers. I mean, we believe that God still does the miraculous. And if you look at the prayer records and the praise reports that happen over and over and over, you realize that God is doing something special through those who are seeking out the Lord and who are seeking God. God still does signs and wonders. I want to tell you straight up, have faith for it. It goes on, it says this, it says, they sold all their possessions and they gave to those who had need. So what happened is those who became believers, and we can't hardly grasp this, that those who became believers, that some of them, their families would cut them off, excommunicate them. And that suddenly they would lose their jobs, they would lose their inheritance, and suddenly they're left in great need. And it says that there was such a life transformation happening that they would sell their possession and help those who were in need until they could get back on their feet. They were incredibly unselfish. Are we unselfish? I want to tell you straight up as your pastor, I struggle with being selfish. But the beautiful thing is God takes us how we are and where we are, and he begins to transform our lives. And these guys had been transformed. I mean, things were still messy. I don't want us to romanticize the situation here, that these guys were still messy, but God took them where they're at and he transformed them. The disciples, I mean, they were stubborn. Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut. He would pop off all the time. Judas walked away and completely betrayed the Lord. Then when Jesus died, they all left and went back to their old lives and began to fish again. But ultimately, God continued to work with them, and they came back. And of the 11 who stayed, all but one became martyrs for the faith, and they made a radical difference in the world around them. Because God takes us exactly where we are, selfish, and he transforms us. And during that season was this incredible process of life transformation. And part of the thing is that I believe that there was such transformation that others looked in and said, man, there's something incredible happening in Kevin. I want to be a part of it. Man, there's something incredible. God's dealing my heart, and I see something incredible in Keith and in Sean, and I want to be a part of it. And the question, we have lots of questions that we want to ask today is this, is do people see the life transformation in us? Are they saying, man, there is something so different in Madeline that I want to be a part of that? That there is such peace, that Aaron was so stressed, and now there's such peace. Man, I want that peace. I want to be a part of that. Is there life transformation in our lives that others can see, and they're saying, I want a part of what God is doing in their lives? And I want to tell you this, that at Grace Hill, we want to be an avenue for life transformation. We want to be an avenue for spiritual growth. And how many of you know that when God begins to transform one area, he begins to work in all areas of our lives? So something incredible is one of those avenues that we want to be a part of life transformation is our connection groups. And in fact, this fall, they start late September, we're going to have more connection groups than we've ever had here at Grace Hill. And in fact, we're going to have one that deals with finances. We're having one that deals with our health. How many of you, do you need to know just how to be healthy and what is even the biblical precedent for that? We're going to have ones that deal with marriage. We're going to have them that deal with men's and women's. And our kids' connection groups are incredible. So I'm telling you that that's an avenue that we're not just saying, hey, study this Bible, study this passage. We're saying here is the broad scope of life transformation that God wants to do through us and in us and in the world around us. And I want to encourage you to risk it enough to be a part of a small group and allow God to work in you on a spiritual level and on a relational level with other believers of the faith. That is a powerful, transformational time in our lives. So we have connection groups. We have where we began. We encourage you to serve in ministry. The involvement of percentage-wise of in ministry at Grace Hill blows me away that we're discovering that we get to use our gifts. And as we use our gifts, there's a transforming that happens in our lives. But also, here's the deal, is that we want Sundays to be the best possible experience and allow people to hear the gospel. And part of that is allowing there to be the best kids ministry possible so that parents can come in here knowing that their kids are getting more than babysitting, they're getting ministry. I want to tell you this, we don't do babysitting here at Grace Hill. We teach our children, even the youngest ones, at whatever level they can understand, we teach them the truths of Scripture. And in fact, something that I want to tell you is kind of the reveal that we talked about a few weeks ago, is that starting next week, we're starting the remodel of our kids' space to where what has been the storage room is going to become a gigantic nursery, because last Sunday we had 9 babies alone. I'm not talking about those in the nursery, the whole kit. We had 9 babies. Dude, we believe in church growth around here, baby. We're going to grow one way or another, right? And so we're starting like a $10,000 remodel on that one room alone next week. Then we're starting right after that, the current nursery and toddler and two space, it goes through a transformation immediately following that to allow enough room for our toddlers and twos. And then right following that, the room next to it is going to go through the transformation, which is our preschool room. And that it'll be enlarged and expanded, and these things will be incredible because we want to be able to raise up children who follow God and who love God and who understand Scripture and understand the Bible, understand who God is and how much He loves them. And we get to do that as a church and provide that for our children because we're not going to babysit. We're going to teach. And that we will want to teach and have even them follow the Lord from an early age. And so for us is that really part of life transformation in our lives is that these kids are getting ministry. And listen, in the future, some of us in this room, you're going to be teaching those kids. And right now you're saying, no way. But God's going to direct your heart. And as you begin to hear Him, He begins to transform you. You say, you know, I am going to do that. But part of life transformation is that over the coming time, as you follow the Lord, that you're going to begin to lead on your job in a way you've never led and be an example of God's love. That as God does transformation in us, that we're going to begin to serve in ministries that, you know, you're saying, man, I'm just going to come and chill out and hang out, but we're going to begin to serve and realize that that's part of God leading us of using our gifts. And that some we're going to begin to give, and we've never given, but we're going to begin to discover the joy of giving and living for something greater than ourselves and being unselfish with our stuff that is so temporal. We're going to find the joy in that because that's part of life transformation is that it's not all about hoarding for me. It's about giving to others and being a blessing, not just blessing, being blessed. And that over time, that some of you in here are going to step up and lead in ways you never thought you could lead. In fact, over time, some of you in this room are going to come onto this staff, and you thought I would never be on a church staff, but because God, we're about raising up our own team. We're about discipling and raising up, and that's what you're going to see. Some of you in this room, you mark it down. In fact, someone in your heart's being stirred right now. You're going to end up on this staff because of this whole process of life transformation. That we're not about hiring in the best, we're about raising up the best. You see, this whole life transformation, you know what it's a part? It's a part of the life transformation process. In fact, I want you to write this down today. Part of the life transformation process is this, is that we begin fulfilling God's will for our lives. That part of the life transformation process is that we start fulfilling God's plan for our lives. In fact, that's why as a church that we've been here the last 6.5 years, that out of Grace Hill, we have 9 full-time people on the mission field because we're accomplishing God's will for our lives. That's why that we're seeing entrepreneurs starting businesses because they're saying, you know what? I want to accomplish God's will, and it may not be occupational ministry, but I'm going to do this entrepreneurial thing so that I can accomplish local ministry. That we're seeing, that's why teachers, we're raising, seeing them go out more and more and more because life transformation is about fulfilling God's will for your life. And we want to be an avenue of life transformation as God works in us. And as a church, we're going to provide those spaces and those places and those times for us to grow in this walk with God, both for the new Christian and for the established one as well. And I want to tell you, it's a never-ending process, but it's worth it. I want to go back to my vacation that we did last week. Is that I want to show you a before and after picture. So this is us before, and you see my family, and you see another family with us, the Motts, and there's the 9 of us, and McKenna's got the little selfie stick with the Bluetooth, and she takes the picture. Doesn't that look like, it looks like somebody's taking it, right? I mean, that was like this Mongo selfie stick. It reached to the wall over there, and, you know, McKenna's propping it up with a back brace, you know, it's like, ugh. But you see all the smiles, anticipation, it's about 37 degrees in this picture, and you can feel the brisk breeze coming down the mountains, and it's like we're all ready for the day. It is, I mean, it looks smiles and hair fixed and everybody's zipped up. And we walked and we hiked up a mountain. we peaked at a 14er on Mount Democrat. You come down, back down, and you go across the saddle. You walk across the saddle. It's a kind of a mid-range area, and you go back up Mount Cameron. And there's times where we stopped and we rested. We ate. We took our electrolytes. We stopped and had lunch. We stopped and let everybody complain about how hard it was, and then we prod, go, go, you can do it. And then we go back up Mount Cameron, and then all the way back down, about 6.5 hours of hiking and eating and hanging out and resting. And it was, we were tired. And there's parts where, you know, you take a step and it's like, and someone in front of you stops, and like, come on, you can go, you can make it. Other times, we're laughing and cutting up. That at the end, though, I want to show you the end picture here. At the end, after 6.5 hours of hiking, look, everybody's sweaty, hats on backwards, our shoes are dirty, everything's in the backpacks. Everybody, look at Corbin right up here in the middle top left. That before, see, her hair was fixed and now her hair is like up. I want it out of the way. And you see everyone, and you see Jeff, who was smiling big in the beginning, and now he's like, take the picture, McKenna. But we all felt like it was worth it. And the process of discipleship and spiritual growth is not always easy. But that's why it was funner with the 9 of us than just the 1 of us. That's why it's more fun with the church body, because there's points, Betsy, where you're saying, I'm done with God knocking off the hard edges of my life. And we're like, Betsy, it's worth it. And there's times where we're saying, you know what, I'm done with this. No, no, Dina, you can make it. You're not done with this. You can do, you just one more step, one more day of following. You can make it. And everybody's cheering for Dina, and everyone's prodding her on. And then there's times where we say, Debbie, you know what? You've got a bad attitude. You need to buck up. Debbie's one of the most awesome people. I knew she was tough enough to handle it. And that's what we did on the hiking trip. Hey, you know what? Right now, buck up. Just push through. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And sometimes I was telling myself that. You know what? On the second one, Michael, you're going to make it, buddy. Oh, I'm old. And that's what happens in the church, in this process of spiritual discipleship and life transformation and growth that never ends. But when you take and you summit and you come back, then you're thinking, it was worth it. And so today, are we going to allow God to have wins in us of knowing Him and growing in Him? Salvation, life transformation. And you say sometimes, like, okay, God's stirring one area where you know it's not in alignment with Him, and God's in yours, I don't want to do it, but then you come and you experience Him in worship. Maybe your kids come home and say, listen to what I learned today, and it's like, oh man, they're learning it, and I still haven't got that yet. It prods us forward. So guys, God has great things in store for you and in store for us. And part of the journey is so much more fun together that at the end we look back and we say, man, look what we did. In fact, James, him and his wife were kind of trying to find a church. We're kind of just hanging out at home a lot. And they got a mailer 7 years ago. Came on launch Sunday and have been with us ever since. And now he's an elder in the church. A process of life transformation. And I want to walk you all the way to the very beginning, that giving allowed us to do the outreach, to pay for the mailer. He came into church launch day, we had a team, and relationship and discipleship happened there. Growth in small groups and connection groups, that we've been in connection groups together that have large and a group of like 4 and 5 men that met in a home. We've been in all kinds of settings to where ultimately now we've moved forward. There's been every aspect from the giving and unselfish side to the relational discipleship side to now he's in the leadership side, that there's life transformation that happens. Does that make sense? Using all that God has given us for his purpose. Will you pray with me today? Grace Hill, our Lord, I thank you for Grace Hill. I thank you for every person that's here, and I just pray that today you would speak to every heart and speak to every life. And that today, Lord, you would be glorified in them as they are obedient to you. Guys, I want to encourage you with this. that part of our custom call is to be an avenue of people coming to know Jesus and to being an avenue of spiritual growth and of life transformation, and to find where you fit into the process and move forward. I want to pray a closing prayer over you, a prayer of blessing, and I encourage you to go this week and be a light into the community where God has placed you. Father, I pray that your will would be done in every man and every woman in this room. And I pray that they, Lord, would follow you every day with their whole hearts, and that we would be a part, Lord, of the win process that you have set out for us, Lord, of people coming to know you and people coming to grow in you. That, Lord, knowing and growing, that we would be a part of that process, Lord Jesus, and we ourselves would be in the process of life transformation. And Lord, I pray that as we go this week, that we would encounter your grace and we would share your grace. That we would encounter your love and we would share your love. Lord, that we would be, Lord, your ambassadors, your representatives to the neighborhood that you have placed us in. And I pray this blessing upon this congregation in Jesus' name. And together we said, amen. Have an amazing week in the Lord.